Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you're here for the first time and you managed to get your way onto the Zoom meeting, congratulations and welcome. Welcome to everyone else. Just a wee note about Amos. He's safely arrived in Cameroon, but he's still to meet his parents and Larry due to imposed closures and curfews, not COVID-related, but for political purposes. We gather together and yet apart, using this time and this space to meet God and allow him to meet us. Allow him to teach us. Allow him to serve us. Allow him to use us. Permit God to use this time and space. Let him be the breath in our words. Let him be the reason behind our thoughts. Let him be the impulse in our worship. Let's worship God. Jesus calls us here to meet him.
Come before the one God, the giver of grace, mercy, and peace. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you for your creative power that spans the whole breadth of time. When we gaze at the stars, we stretch our minds to the farthest reaches of your creation and back to times before the dawn of mankind. When we wonder at the snowdrop breaking from the frosty ground, we see your creative power in a springtime that is yet to be. Lord, who are we that you would find room for us in this space your hands have fashioned? Lord, who are you that you speak galaxies into being, yet care for the smallest sign of the promise of spring? We praise you, Creator God. We praise you for your faithfulness in keeping your promises, even in times of trouble, especially in times of adversity. We praise you for your promise made and fulfilled to Abraham to be his God, to guide him, to make him a father of many nations. Lord, we thank you that we share in this legacy today. We praise your presence among Israel in exile, teaching them that their God is not enthroned in a temple built by human hands, but has made his dwelling within and among those who seek his face and humble themselves before it. We thank you that, unchanging, you are pleased to live in and among your people today, who run to your call and serve at your bidding. We praise you for your self-giving in Jesus. We cannot count the times the gospel has lifted us, nor can we number how often his teaching has proved true. We thank you that in Jesus we see your desire for repentance, forgiveness, and mercy, which, like thumbprints in a potter's clay, are a sign of your transforming power among your people. Father, we wonder that despite our stiff necks, Jesus still walked the way to the cross, that despite our readiness to turn from you, his love is stronger than our unfaithfulness, and despite our stumbling down paths that lead us to death, he continues to call us to follow in his footsteps that lead to life in a fullness we could scarcely imagine. We praise you, faithful God. Lord, we're sorry when we allow our strengths to mask our need for interdependence, and we put down others because we have some advantage over them. Father, too often we fail to follow Jesus as he stands beside the poor, the powerless, and those on the edge. Lord, forgive us and teach us again to share the concerns of Jesus. Lord, we're sorry for when our love is weak and we dodge the difficult tasks that love demands. Father, too often our love is laissez-faire and no more than a fuzzy feeling. Lord, forgive us and show us in Jesus the love that guides from harm and reshapes lives, and teach us to live that love and share it. Lord, we are sorry when we ignore the truth and we pay attention only to things that prosper ourselves. Lord, in your word, we hear your call to speak out for the oppressed and speak up for the voiceless. Too often, we condemn those who do not share our privileges while disregarding our complicity in keeping them down. Father, tell us again of the shepherd who searched for the lost sheep, and share with us your deep concern for the ones our society fails to value. Lord, we are sorry for when the church does not reflect your glory, and instead we make it look like ourselves. Father, you often call us to build up, but so often our response is to steamroller over those we don't agree with, and we wonder why everything is crumbling around us. Faithful God, we repent of our past sins. We put our futures in your hands. And in this moment, we come together as your people and rededicate ourselves to your loving purposes in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Thank you. first reading is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The work of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Our second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, reading verses 1 to 13. Food sacrificed to idols. Now, about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everybody knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you have this knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. May God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We joined together to sing the hymn, When I Needed a Neighbor, Were You There?
Yeah.
Let us pray. Loving God, in Christ, you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, show forth your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. A planning and an ingin in a ta. A request for the undeniable delight of two brideys, one plain and one onion, from Wallace's old Dundee pie shop in Castle Street, Dundee. Give or take a year, 1956. Dundee, of course, has changed beyond recognition since those days. Heavy industry, vast factories, teeming docks, a busy cattle market, three mainline railway stations, and of course, ploughing majestically through the waters of the Tay, the Fife. 184,000 citizens. And yet, it was always claimed that if you stood below Samuel's clock, just round the corner from Wallace's, and you made your bridey last long enough, you would eventually meet everyone you knew. Of an evening, it was also a favourite meeting place for couples before they headed for the dark interiors of Dundee's many picture houses. Frankly, it's more than my life is worth to take the analogy between the culinary and courting pleasures of Bonnie Dundee and the temptations of biblical Corinth any further. Except that in Corinth, it was believed that anyone living there could expect eventually to meet someone from every country in the known world. Corinth had a deserved reputation for luxury and good living. Apart from exotic goods and great wealth, travellers from all corners of the globe brought to Corinth a heady mix of superstitions and pagan practices. It was a city famous for all the worst kinds of vice and the most appalling kinds of behaviour, for activities that were nameless and for people who were shameless. And yet it was from these very people that Paul had fashioned a church. It was in a city which could sink no lower either in morals or in reputation that Paul had created a vibrant group of followers. Paul put no barriers in the way of those who truly wanted to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. They came from all walks of life. The church included people who had repented of the most evil ways. They had changed their lives around quite dramatically. Following the example of Jesus, Paul had gathered in the lost and the low, the poor in heart and the poor in spirit. The message which Paul proclaimed was for all. It was for the sinners and for the sinned against. There was no bar on any who wanted to come and follow the Lord. It was after Paul had left for Syria that the church had drifted gradually into different groups. They had begun to develop ideas of their own. Some had adapted them from other religions and from foreign superstitions. In this letter to the church in Corinth, we see the problems and the heartbreaks, the sorrows and the joys. We see Paul, the shepherd of his flock, bearing the troubles of God's people on his heart. Instead of being a group united in Christ, the church in Corinth was in bits and pieces. These divisions had occurred because they cared too little about the sheer grace of God. The Corinthians had placed their faith completely in human knowledge and human wisdom. Now, it is true to say that all knowledge comes from God. He reveals that knowledge to us only when he believes that we can cope with it. In human hearts, however, there is always the temptation to use knowledge for our own limited, selfish ends. We do not give God the recognition, the place, and the honour he deserves. God's grace allows us to acquire knowledge, to develop skills freely, and to do so without restriction. But as Paul pointed out, the Corinthians were not using their knowledge wisely. They were not using it for God. The faith these people demonstrated was not the result of an adult, mature, Christ-led thought. It was immature. It was self-centered. It was more about themselves than it was about God. God was in their lives, but he came second to their own values and beliefs. At first reading, this morning's passage of Corinthians deals with a problem which may seem extremely remote to us, but it was intensely real to the people of the church in Corinth. Was it acceptable to eat meat which had been sacrificed and dedicated to other gods? Herein lies the problem. Sacrifice to the gods was very much at the centre of the daily lives of people at the time. The sacrifice could be done in public or in private. In either case, it was not the whole animal that was used up in the sacrifice. Some of the meat was kept apart. It could be served up to house guests or even sold in the market. How was that a problem? Well, this was an age when everyone was fearfully gripped by a belief in every variety of demons and devils. The very air was full of them. These evil beings were always seeking ways to enter the body. What better way than to hitch a lift on food? Nearly all the meat appearing in the local market would have been dedicated to some heathen god or idol. This was a huge dilemma for the people of the church. Is this a problem? A problem best left in antiquity? Can we ignore it completely as being irrelevant? It's all right. We know what we're doing. How modern is that? But that was the belief of some of the Corinthians. We all have knowledge. To them, the gods are heathen and important because, of course, they do not exist. It was therefore possible for these people to eat the meat without any worries at all. They were servants of the true God, and it was meat. It was quite scarce, so why waste it? How can there be any harm in that? That was true, Paul agreed. Heathen gods do not exist. And he points out, all of us have knowledge. Such knowledge puffs up a person with pride, but love builds up. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. It is certain that we can be tempted if we become too arrogant, if we do not pay proper attention. All of us can fall victim to temptation. This past Christmas, I received from three different sources, who all know me far too well, a grand total of 1.2 kilograms of John Maynard's original wine gums. I then spent the following week saying, I am not really eating these wine gums. We are having an organic union. And I'll bet you didn't know there was a Presbyterian way to eat sweeties. In truth, of course, it did my weight no great good at all and served as no proper example to our grandsons, even if they had been here to see me. No proper example. Paul's primary concern is that what we do should not cause other people to falter and to fall on life's journey. For the Corinthians, their primary concern was the knowledge they had accumulated. They assumed certain rights and privileges, rights which they believed they must be allowed to exercise, regardless of the effects on others. After all, was it not right that God had wanted them to meet me regardless of its history? At first, Paul agrees with them. All created things are good. In any normal circumstance, our relationship with God should not change just because of the food we eat. Then Paul turns this back onto those who insist on their rights. Rights exercised regardless of responsibilities. Rights which they regarded they must exercise above all other considerations. What is more important? Can we do whatever we want, regardless of its effect on others? As Christians, can we claim that we have no responsibility for other people? Are we here to serve ourselves or to serve others? Sometimes we have to give up a right we have won, a privilege we have been given, a reward we have earned. We have to give it up if it diminishes someone else in any way. Paul proclaims that he will do whatever it takes to serve others, even if it means giving up his own personal privileges. This is the love which Jesus gives to us. Love which is sacrificial. Love which puts others before ourselves. We need to take time to prayerfully consider this model of Christian love. We need to examine ourselves to see how it applies to the many different ways of our ordinary, everyday lives. Oh, what some power the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us. Aye. And where was Burns when he was inspired to write that in church? What do other people see of us as Christians? Do they see an example of Christian love? I mean, in our everyday lives. How do we truly help others? Is there something that we do that means no harm? Something that provides a little fun, a passing pleasure. However, might that innocent activity be the start on the road to difficulties for someone else? That welcoming New Year dram, the shared lottery ticket, that sly wee joke about a neighbour behind their back. There are things that we can purchase, things that we can enjoy, bits of conversation that we can casually share with others, but they may prove the wrong thing for someone else, the last straw. Do we understand the wider consequences of action? Paul urges, if food makes my brother or sister sin, I will never eat meat again, so as not to make my brother or sister fall to sin. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. Give God his proper place in our lives. Use the knowledge he has given us for his purposes. Put others before ourselves. Give up what can cause harm. And finally, keep in your hearts the last words of Paul to the Corinthians. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Do all your work in love. Amen. Let us pray. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, restore, establish, and strengthen us all. All power belongs to him for ever and ever. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you.
Let us commit our offering of our time, our talents, and money to God. Let us pray. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious Lord. Accept, we pray, not just our financial offering, but also our talents and lives, freely offered in gratitude for all you have provided for us. Use them, Lord, in this place and elsewhere, for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Amen. All our concerns and the concerns of the world are God's concerns. Let us intercede and share them with us now. There's a bidding, God of mercy, equity, and love, and the response, hear our prayer. God of mercy, equity and love, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your worldwide church today and for all the worshippers gathering in virtual online fellowships throughout the world to glorify and praise your name and to learn more from your holy scriptures. Give us all a sense of expectation as we worship before you, seeking understanding and inspiration before we return with your blessing into the world and the week that lies ahead. Whilst geography, culture, and denomination may separate us, help us to put our differences behind us and unite us all in the great commission of Jesus to make disciples of all nations and all people. Lord, we take a moment to pray for those within our congregation who are absent today, those who lack the skill or the technology to join us in worship. Father, reassure them that they are not forgotten and enfold them in your warm and loving embrace. We pray for your blessing on all who preach and teach the message of your salvation. And we pray for our cluster neighbours, the emerging Presbytery of Fife, and the ongoing review to resolve a plan for future witness and worship in North Fife. Lord, above all, make us a listening and responsive church, welcoming to the hesitant, encouraging to the young, sensitive to difference, and attentive to the needs of everyone, seeking opportunities to share your love and to draw others closer to you. God of mercy, equity, and love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, make us a caring world, wise in government, honest in promises, far-sighted in the management of resources, sensitive to the environment, and open-hearted in charitable giving. We thank you for all peace initiatives and every genuine attempt at negotiation towards conflict resolution. We pray for discernment and perseverance as our leaders work towards peace and reconciliation in line with your will. And we long for a time when our laws and expectations will truly reflect your perfect justice and love. Drive away despair from our politics. Revive our dreams of justice and truth. Restore our passion for what is good and right across the nations of this world. Lord, establish your just and gentle rule in Syria, Yemen, the Cameroon, the Central African Republic, areas of the world where there is ongoing political upheaval and conflict. Father, let peace prevail. Negotiation replace confrontation. Love reign over hatred. Harmony preside over discord. And may the differences in belief, culture, and religion become the enriching bonds which build and sustain an everlasting peace between all peoples and nations. We pray for the peoples of Somalia, affected by flooding and swarms of locusts, which have destroyed their annual harvest. The Rohingya refugees, struggling to survive in a foreign land. The spread of the COVID-19 pandemic across vast swathes of Africa, Asia, and the Americas. The destructive earthquake and tremors in Indonesia. And closer to home, those yet again devastated by the floods in central and southwest England. Lord, we ask you to bless and support them all through their current despair. Give them hope and encouragement towards a lasting and viable future. We ask you to govern the hearts and minds of those who lead our nations and for those in authority, that they may act justly, with honesty and integrity, according to your will. We ask your blessing on our Queen, Prince Philip and the royal family, and all in government at Westminster and Holyrood. We ask for your continued guidance in the post-Brexit negotiations as tensions grow, tempers rise, and divisions once again appear in political parties, industry, and businesses. God of mercy, equity, and love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, make us a responsible community, supporting our neighbours and our friends, sharing one another's sorrows and joys, and opening our homes to your indwelling. In our daily life, help us never to forget the supremacy of your love, and may it motivate us to care for our neighbours in Newport and throughout our cluster. We pray for any in our community that may feel neglected or rejected. God, may your grace and mercy heal the social ills which sometimes draw us into despair and inspire our citizenship to rise beyond mediocrity, that we always remember that we are members of one another, one body, and that we can never live for ourselves alone. We pray for harmony and understanding in our family relationships, the willingness both to give and to receive, to forgive and be forgiven, for understanding and mutual respect. God of mercy, equity and love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we are distressed by so many young lives, broken and deceived by abuse and neglect, the associated heartbreak of families split apart by emotional conflicts and financial worries. We pray for the marginalised, scorned and rejected, for those isolated through illness or imprisonment, the forgotten who live in the nighttime shadows of our cities and feel that no one understands or cares. Surround them all with such love that they may know they are all precious to you. Father, we lift to you the homeless, the refugees, the expelled and forgotten people everywhere. And we lift all the charities which work so tirelessly in the fight against exclusion and deprivation of any kind to you this morning. God of mercy, equity and love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that your healing touch may bring wholeness and peace to those who suffer physical or mental pain and anguish. Father, bring hope to those who are close to despair, often in total isolation, as the current lockdown restrictions reduce social interaction. We give thanks for our medical research scientists and the development of the COVID-19 vaccine, for the logistical planning and distribution teams, and the nurses and military staff who administer it. We pray for our National Health Service, our medical centres and hospitals, and all who bring comfort, healing, diagnosis, surgery and relief in these very trying and difficult times. We thank you that their efforts have never diminished, for they have never flagged in zeal, and ask you to continue to support them in their duties and refresh them in their times of rest. Father, we pray for those approaching the end of their days, awaiting the call to enter into your eternal kingdom. We commend into your loving mercy the dying and those who have already joined you in the beauty and glory of heaven above. We ask for your comfort and loving embrace to surround loved ones left behind. In their time of sorrow and grief, Lord, reassure them and console them. God of mercy, equity and love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless Amos, our minister, as he negotiates the Anglophone-induced lockdown and militia curfews prevailing within the Cameroon, and that he will be able to visit his parents and Larry without further issue in the coming days. Lord of our lives, we each have people, situations, and so many things on our hearts and minds. In this moment of silence, we submit these things before you, Lord, in the blessed assurance that you will hear and respond to our petitions. God of mercy, equity and love, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now move to sing our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
ended and we journey on into the coming week. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.